Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads in easy to consume and enjoy podcast form, one page at a time. Still a little rusty, kind of messed up our opening there because I haven't been doing it in so long, but good to be back doing it with you, Glenn.
I like doing it with you as well.
Yeah, it's good to do it in person too, because honestly, like the distance and doing it over the phone, didn't feel the same.
Doing it up close is the way, because you want to really get in there.
Yeah,
and root like, around.
I can feel you now.
I don't know why that's the part that made it gross. Because feelings are gross is what it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's a well-adjusted take.
Yeah.
Feelings are gross. No, they're not.
They are.
You monster.
I watched, I subtweeted you yesterday.
You did? I'm almost never on Twitter anymore.
You posted like a very sincere video about the process of buying this house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I watched a solid 3 minutes of it waiting for it to get funny.
Oh, no, it was just a genuine thing that I did for my realtor who's amazing. If anybody is in the Lehigh Valley area and wants to know about my realtor, hit me up. I'll tell you.
I kept waiting for it to turn into a sketch or something. And it doesn't. It's just you seem to have a very pleasant experience buying your house.
Yeah. No, it was a genuine video testimonial they asked me to do, and I couldn't have been happier to oblige. But
when you were talking about feelings being gross, I'm like, oh, because sometimes people just have emotions and things, and they don't need to reflexively turn them into comedy to stuff them back down inside themselves.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I forget that sometimes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hope maybe you grew a little bit as a human watching that. Yes.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
But, you know, a boy can dream.
I don't think there was a lot of growth there.
Well, I have in my hand my phone, and on my phone I have an app for the social networking site Facebook, and on Facebook I have an account, and on my Facebook account I made a post, and in that post I asked people, yeah, I know, I was trying to be thorough, painting a word picture for everyone listening.
This is like the thing where they make second graders write the directions for making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
And they're like, you need more detail.
So
get a knife from where, Darren?
Oh, God. Well, I asked people, what's a topic that likely has a Wikipedia page that you would want to know more about? I got some suggestions. We got to cross a couple of them off. A reminder for all you intrepid duty cyclers listening out there, we have the Vincent Price rule, so no people. But also, you want to be kind of specific, but not too specific, right?
Yes.
Like, don't suggest
Triceratops is better than dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, some people made some like real broad suggestions on here that we just can't use. Also, don't be like my brother and suggest things from previous episodes that we've already done. But Glenn, what I need from you is a number between 1 and 5.
That's gonna be a solid 3.
A solid 3. Oh my!
That's how many stars I give that motorcycle that just drove by.
Yeah,
out of 100.
Wow, 3 stars.
3 stars out of 100.
I think that's kind of you to give them any stars.
Well, they're ninja stars, and I would throw them at them as they drive by.
All right. Well, number 3 is from a friend of the show, a big fan of the show, I know for sure. Thrilled that she gave a suggestion. It's a good one. It's from Kat Aldrich. She wants to know about ballpoint pens.
Ooh, baby. Let's talk about ballpoint pens.
Hold on.
First of all, I want to be clear. The ooh, baby, when you said it was our friend Kat. Just statistically, I've the last 2 episodes, because we recorded these back-to-back, I was expecting a Rosalie Fry joint.
I did, too.
Because she threw multiple suggestions
in there.
She
had 3 of them.
She understands the format for suggestions.
Yep.
She always throws in hot fire.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you haven't heard it, go back in our back catalog for the episode on pasta we did with Rosalie as a guest.
Yes.
She was all the way in Italy and had been living there for several years at that point. Very fire episode. Very interesting stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
But yeah, no, you played the numbers. You picked around her. You didn't know what they were. You weren't looking at it. It's not your fault, Glenn. Don't beat yourself up. Ballpoint pens from Kat. Great suggestion. Just throwing this out there. I know it's not the most important fact, but personal preference that I also know is 100% correct. Clicky top pens are the best pen.
I mean, I'll take them over a cap any day. Yeah. I don't need my pen to be two pieces, you know? I'm just going to lose this cap. Get it out of here.
Right, yeah. Clicky top's the way to go.
We got the clicky top.
Yeah. If you say twist, I'm going to punch you in
the
face.
We have the technology. Oh, God, no. What am I, a business dweeb? Who uses twist pens? Yeah.
Like, what did you get? Like a cross pen and pencil set at your high school graduation? Or is this like a Christopher Walken situation where your great grandfather shoved a pen up his ass for like 3 years in World War II and now you have a twist pen that you feel obliged to use? I know that wasn't a pen, but you get the idea.
My kid has these ones that you click down, but to release, you have to press in the clip.
Yeah.
And no thank you.
Yeah, they're terrible. I have a box of 50 of them literally on the table right in front of you. Yeah, they were on sale on Amazon, and I needed some pens.
I got a couple of them bad boys.
So it was real cheap. But then the other part is, like, because of that design, the clip breaks off of them very easily. So then you're stuck with a pen that you can't, like, put the pen back inside
of.
Oh, it's garbage. It's awful. But clicky top. Clicky top's where it's at.
So the ballpoint pen. Ballpoint Bic pen. Really popped it off here in the United States, but I believe it is predated by the Biro company in the UK. So much so that, like, they will frequently call a pen a Biro.
Oh, okay.
The way we, like, people in Georgia call every soda a Coke.
Right.
I feel like that happens a bit with Bic here.
Yeah. Yeah, not much, though. But sure, certainly.
Use it as a punchline once.
Like Family Feud, name a brand of pen, Bic, number one answer, 95, you know, like, for sure. But, like, the ballpoint pen, that, you know, that's innovation coming off of, like, Quill and Ink, right? Like, you've got, like, the stylus, the inkwell kind of a thing, and people are like, this is stupid and messy, and there's got to be a better way.
Dipping this dumb thing. I don't want to dip it anymore. I can't deal with it.
The only dipping that I want to be happening is a nug into a sauce.
Sure.
Give me them sweet nugs and a dipping sauce. Sure. I want to write something. Fuck off. Find a better way.
Yeah. Let me just dip this piece of metal on the end of a stick. Gross. I have words to get down. I don't have time for this. Speed it up. So I understand. I know more about the way they work than I do the history.
Okay.
But I think I know history things. So, everyone who went to elementary school has cracked a few of these babies open.
Right.
The basic, like, Bic stick pen, right? You have the plastic tube on the outside. That's what you hold. The inside, there's a skinnier plastic tube with the ink in it. That's like the ink reservoir. The tip.
It's like the pen straw.
Like the pen straw. Exactly. It's what you use to shoot spitballs at when you take your pen apart. So the end of the reservoir is blocked by a little round metal ball, which has enough room to rotate but not fall out.
In other words, the phrase ballpoint pen is a working title because the point of the tip is actually a ball.
It's a ball at the point, baby.
Little baby ball.
So the back of this ball is up against the ink, and then when you roll it on the paper, it pulls a little bit of the ink to the front.
So, like, a pen that has a cap on it, is that cap the pen's scrotum? Because the ball is within it?
I always thought of it as, like, a little hat.
Okay.
But I guess,
I mean, technically, though,
if there's a ballpoint pen with two balls, yes, then scrotum.
Whoa, what the fuck? What do you got against people who have one ball?
Nothing, but.
But what?
I still think it's a hat.
But if there's two of them, suddenly it's a scrotum? You, my friend, are prejudiced. You are prejudiced against those who only have one testicle, and that's not okay.
I mean, I do have a strong preference for people with two and a half.
Two and a half?
Yeah.
Two and a half balls.
One of my friends and past guest has two and a half balls.
What?
Which one?
What?
I'll never tell.
What?
We haven't had that many guests. I can figure this out.
You'll have to. Where I've now I'm thinking about my friend's balls and I got sidetracked. So the ball spins around and it moves ink from the reservoir to the front, leaves a little mark on the paper. They dry out because if you don't cover it with the little scrotum,
it's a scrotum now.
On the outside,
it's not
of
a little
ball.
Tiny hat anymore. Suddenly,
the,
you're on
if
my
you don't
way
put
of thinking.
The hat on, if oh, you don't put the little pen, hat.
You got to get your story straight, son.
That layer of ink will dry, and it can also make it hard for the ball to spin.
Oh, you know it.
So that's why, like, wetting it, you see, like, people lick the tip.
Lick that.
They
tip.
Lick the ball.
Lick it.
And then right because that will like reliquefy the ink and get it to spin again.
Oh yeah. Run that ball across some paper, baby. What are you going to write me a daddy?
So there's, I think this has been debunked enough, I think, over the years that I don't know that many people still believe it, but I do occasionally still see the meme going around, like Facebook from the olds, where they'll say, like, oh, NASA spent $2 billion to develop a pen that would write in space, and Russia just used pencils. Right. One, don't use pencils in space. Graphite is conductive. If the tip breaks, it bounces around and can short circuit something, and you don't want that in space. Also, even just the little dust particles that are generated from writing with a pencil are problematic in a zero gravity environment. But also, NASA didn't develop the space pen. The Fisher Company did, which is. It's a ballpoint pen, but the reservoir is pressurized. Mm-hmm. So the ink is in there under pressure.
So you don't need gravity to drop it down in order to get to the ball so that you can
correct.
Write.
If you've ever used a ballpoint pen on a wall, you know, once you tip it down, it's going to stop pretty quick.
But the Fisher Company made basically like a super soaker reservoir that's pressurized. So it doesn't matter if you're in a gravity-free environment.
Correct.
Well, good on them.
Good on you, Fisher.
Good on them. Not a fan of not having to lick it to make it wet, but hey, you know.
No, that would still be a problem if you leave it uncapped.
Good.
So you still got to lick Fisher's balls. Now, the real question.
So the
when we get in these bad boys.
Well, let's just pause for a second, right? So we know this is an innovation of convenience, right? The ball serves two purposes, I believe, right? One, it helps so you don't have to constantly, like, where the fuck's the ink, right?
Yeah.
Like, it helps that process. But it also probably makes it just easier to write in general because that ball is going to glide across the paper a lot differently than your metal tip.
It's not going to be scratchy like a
Like
a quill or a fountain pen.
So while you objectively don't have as much control as you do with a quill or a fountain pen to do wonderful things like calligraphy with a ballpoint pen, you're sacrificing that control for speed and
you get better speed, you get a nice even line. They write a long time.
Theoretically less messy, right?
Yes, less likely to leak, although it does happen.
Sure.
Anybody who's seen Ernest Goes to Jail, for example.
So everybody.
Everybody. One of the best Ernest movies, if not the best Ernest movie.
I think
Ernest Goes to Camp might be better.
I don't know. It depends on the mood you're in.
Yeah. I watched Ernest Goes to Jail a couple nights ago. Great. Love it.
Yeah, we all do.
Nothing but respect for our King Ernest.
Oh, he's dead, right?
Yeah, Jim Varney sadly passed away a number of years ago.
R.I.P.
One of the greats. People, look, Jim Varney's incredible. Ernest, obviously, just as a cultural phenomenon in our childhood, was such a wild. It went from a character in, I think it was an appliance store in Florida, for like we need a commercial for our store. Let's get this guy to be like a fun, wacky guy in our commercial.
Hey, man, you got any washing machines?
And it blew up so much that there's a lot of Ernest movies. There's more Ernest movies than you think there are.
Yeah, it's sort of like the horror franchise, The Leprechaun. There are a lot of these movies. You just don't realize it.
Like, if you think, like, oh, yeah, what are they, like, three or four Ernest movies? I think there's, like...
a dozen.
I think there's, like, 11 Ernest movies.
Yeah.
We got Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Saves Christmas, Ernest Goes to Africa. We can skip that one. Ernest Joins the Army. I thought I was going to hit them all. I might have. I don't know how many there are for real.
Well, and you know what's amazing to me? And
Ernest Builds a Ferris Wheel.
So, like, the character of Ernest has always been, like, in my mind. Like, it, you know, it has that origins.
He had from a Saturday morning children's show.
He did. But the origins are in
Vern, it's Ernest.
In the South, right? Like, the American South. But it's always, like, felt a little Canadian to me. You know what I mean? Like, and like, not like, again, the accent is the South. It does feel like the American South, but like, it was good natured and like quirky in a way that like just felt Canadian, even though it wasn't.
Ernest certainly walks the line of like yokel territory.
Right.
But I don't think it's mean. Like, it's not, let's make fun of these dumb idiots.
No. It's like, it's more like Mr. Bean in that it's just a dumb idiot.
Yes, it is. This guy is dumb. Not everybody who looks and sounds like this guy is dumb.
Right.
But he's also not dumb. He's dumb.
He's a high functioning moron.
Yes. He also has electrical powers. He does get superpowers at the end of Ernest Goes to Jail. Because why not?
Why not?
He's an inventor.
Yeah, famously invented the ballpoint pen.
Man, I don't. I got nothing on who invented this bad boy.
I think it was Jim Varney.
Jim Varney, yeah. Actor Jim Varney.
Well, let's go when, right? Because that's interesting. Like, what do you think? Industrial Revolution in Europe?
Yeah.
Gotta be, right?
Gotta be early 1900s.
Gotta be.
I refuse to believe.
Right? Because, like, Ebenezer Scrooge ain't using one. He's got an inkwell. He's writing with a fucking plume.
Dougie Ferris from last week, I don't think, was drawing out those plans with a ballpoint.
No, he was using pencil.
Probably using a pencil.
Yeah, he was definitely using a pencil. He was Russian.
For a second, I'm like, what is he in a hurry for?
Ugh.
Not a joke. I genuinely thought that's what you meant, and then it took a second to process.
Yeah, you got there. Yeah, it's been a while. Callbacks are weird.
So Jim Varney invents.
Yeah, Jim Varney invented the ballpoint pen in
well,
industrial.
Well, Bureau company or his Bureau guy? Is it like Ernest?
Bureau? I think it's probably. I think it's probably like a family that had a company, right?
Ernest,
like,
P. Bureau,
right? And it's B I R R O, right?
Is it one or two?
I thought it was one. I don't know.
But I also don't know.
Well, why don't we go the approach that our friends do with their testicles and just call
one
it
and
a
half?
Yeah.
They were expensive. Oh boy, like they're literal garbage now, right? Like,
right, but they were.
Every business you've ever been to has a cup at the counter with branded pens that you can just have.
Right, but that was the new hotness. That was the new Apple product of, you know, the late 1800s.
I'm talking, you're paying $1 1910 prices.
Wow. That's two rides on the Ferris wheel.
That is,
you could have
so many people.
Better part of an hour on the Ferris wheel or a ballpoint pen.
I think the original claim was that they will write for a mile. Later debunked.
Hmm.
But it's like, I don't know that I've ever used up a pen. Like, you lose
it.
Yeah,
well, like, we have that. It's a quantity thing, right? Like, you lose it or someone steals it before it runs out of ink.
Yeah. Or it's been sitting in a cup without the cap for the last 10 years, so it's all dried out.
Right.
I don't know that it's ever been like, oh, this bad boy's all used up.
When we moved from our apartment to this house, one of the hardest things that we did was we decided we were going to get rid of maybe half of the coffee mugs that we own. And wow. I had like a real moment where I was like, what am I going to put my pens in? Like, it was like a very weird emotional reaction for something that objectively does not matter. But yeah.
TikTok user Frog Queen.
Yeah, Frog Queen's watching us live. What
Frog
up?
Queen has run out of ink. Wow. And many times. Wow. But they're probably better at keeping track of stuff.
Well, I mean, like, and I guess it also
famous
depends.
Famous dummies, you and me.
Right. Like, yeah, we're idiots. But, like, I could see, like, artists, right? Like, if artists are using, like, pen and ink, right? Like,
I think
that those you're running out. Like, if you're inking comic books and you're using a pen for that, sure, you're going to run out of ink in that. But, like, you're just standard ballpoint pen that you're, like, writing checks with. Or, yeah, you know, like, that one check you have to write a month.
I used to write things out longhand in notebooks before typing them up.
Yeah, I still do. I still don't like the note app on like my phone. I still don't like it.
I want to give it a little kiss. Because it syncs automatically on my laptop. I can open it up.
Can we talk about something real quick that's like not involved in this week's episode?
Yeah.
So like the last couple weeks, you've been talking about kissing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You've been like hugging. Are you okay, bud?
Yeah. I just, it's like so little human contact in the past year.
Sure.
That I taught, like, I was joking on Twitter last night about the Mortal Kombat movie. It was before I watched it, but I said like, oh, I like that in the new Mortal Kombat movie, everybody says, finish him, daddy.
Oh.
Like it's not true to the source material, but it's fun and will bring a new audience to the franchise. I also like that all the fatalities are based around kissing now.
Huh.
And then I remember that I think one of them actually is in one of the games, like one of the characters
probably
does like a poison kiss.
The kiss
at
of
you.
Death.
Yeah. Or like gives you a kiss and like her tongue comes out your butt or something.
Oh,
like,
oh, I love that.
Like it pills
love
you.
That. I want that right now.
King Kong and Godzilla.
So imagine.
I was very focused on Kong and Godzilla kissing. I still think it should have happened. And there's one point in the movie where. So I've been joking about it for weeks before the movie came out, and then I'm watching Kong and Godzilla fight.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Godzilla pins King Kong to the ground.
Yeah.
And they lean in. Like in any other movie, it would have been like, man, this is the moment they kiss. And they don't do it. I won't ruin the movie. I won't say who wins. They do not kiss.
Well, no one wins if they don't kiss.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I wanted them to kiss.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
They didn't do it. There was a moment at the end where it's like, maybe.
There's enough / fan fiction on Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of art that I can look at to scratch that itch, but you really want Marvel to commit.
Right.
Like, because they made WandaVision, and Wanda and Vision kissed a bunch.
Right.
So,
right.
If you're going to put two character names in the title, make them kiss.
Okay. Okay. So,
I didn't see Alien versus Predator. I assume they kiss.
I mean, who's to say they didn't? They're alien life forms, and we don't truly understand where their pleasure centers are.
Well, the aliens got two mouths for kissing.
Uh-huh.
So that's good, because then the little one can come out and give
assuming,
you a little, just a little.
What, you're assuming that a xenomorph has like really sensitive lip skin.
Just a
you,
little.
Do you really think that that's how it works? I mean, I know that they have teeth and mouth, but like, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. I've never put any thought into
it. How do you think xenomorphs kiss, if not with their mouths?
Well, I mean, I don't
they
know.
They might do something else to show affection.
Well, I mean, a xenomorph face hugger feels like its mouth is its butthole. It just goes over your face. I don't know. Is that the lip? Is that the lip, or is that more like a sphincter or like a labia? I don't know.
I'm not actually that familiar with the Aliens franchise.
Am I. So to just reset.
I just know the one has a little mouth that comes out.
So to just reset really quick.
To kiss Sigourney Weaver.
If we had to put like a topic sentence in this paragraph, it's just Glenn.
I don't even remember what
just,
the topic
it's
is.
Just Glenn be horny. Is that like what
kissing?
It is? Yeah. Spring has sprung. You're seeing people again. You have carnal.
I want
carnal
everyone.
Cravings.
I want everyone to be happy and kiss.
Okay.
After they're vaccinated.
All right.
Been very focused. You're not wrong. I've been very focused the last couple weeks on characters in media that I'm consuming kissing.
Yeah. And hey, this podcast is not your therapy session. I don't know. I didn't know if you had sent out intentionally on like a pro kissing kind of platform. If, you know, Glenn Tickle is no longer that dad comic, he's that kissing comic. Like, I didn't know. I just didn't know. It's been so long.
I mean, I've been spending less time on Twitter.
That's got to be good for your health.
Now that I'm TikTok famous.
Barely on Twitter anymore, and I feel great about it.
But the times that I am, it's been vacillating between me saying characters in TV shows and movies should kiss each other and talking about Buckaroo Banzai. Like, probably pretty even split at this point.
Is it, how much kissing is in Buckaroo Banzai?
Minimal.
How does that make you feel?
I would like there to be more, yes. Like Perfect Tommy? Somebody should smooch Perfect Tommy.
His name's Perfect Tommy. I can only imagine.
Very
he's
handsome,
perfect.
Man. Let's see. Goldblum's in there. Goldblum doesn't kiss anybody in that movie.
That's a goddamn waste of Jeff Goldblum.
I think it's just Buckaroo and Penny.
I don't know. I only watched 15 minutes of it before I turned it off.
And they don't kiss in the first 15
yeah,
minutes.
Oh, it's
they
garbage.
Kiss later.
It garbage. There's a mountain.
Buckaroo does lick his hand and then press it to Hakita's forehead.
Yeah, but that's just to prep his
ballpoint
like, pen.
That's like a kiss.
Yeah.
And it is, though, because he writes the formula
on
his hand.
I know what I'm doing.
And then he licks it. And
why
then,
are you surprised when I know what I'm doing?
Because you said you only watched like the first 10 minutes, and that's not in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I also had no idea. I was just trying to get us back on topic.
You're a piece of garbage.
Yeah, well, why don't you come over here and kiss me, the big dirty man?
Ballpoint pens, that's the topic? Not kissing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not kissing. So we know how they work. We know why they work. We know they were expensive. I guess we
you know,
put
Frog
a,
Queen's using them up left and right.
We put a flag in the ground, and we said that this is the Industrial Revolution in Europe is where they're coming from. We feel good about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Bic really popped it off here.
Bic's
definitely getting a mention on this page.
And like, so how did they go from being that high priced luxury item to this just like trash that they are now? Like, what was the tipping point for that ballpoint pen?
Plastic.
Yeah. So what was the original one made out of?
Bakelite.
What? Bakelite?
Yeah. Okay. It's like early, like before everything was plastic, like Bakelite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or I think, is it Bakelite or Bakelite?
Why are you asking me? I don't know shit. Between you and I, the chances of you of someone knowing something that's borderline scientific, it's not me. I've come to terms with it.
It's
a long
plastic-like material.
Yeah.
Or bone. I don't know. Like how far back
bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
hollow
make
out
a
some,
ballpoint
yeah.
pen out of like bird bones or something.
I'm here for it.
Or reeds.
All right, well, I think that's all we got, right? Let's take a break. Let's pay the bills with our famous $8 ads. If you're listening or watching on TikTok Live, you too can advertise on this podcast. It costs $8. Just find us. We'll make it happen. It'll definitely be a sound investment. And it, even though sometimes people claim that these ads aren't real, they are very real.
Yeah, people keep saying that we make these up just because sometimes they're about things that we brought up earlier in the show or just by things that are in – our immediate line of sight when we start doing this, but
yeah.
This is legit advertising.
Yep. So we're going to step aside. When we come back, I'll pull up the official Wikipedia page for ballpoint pens. We'll see how we did, and it'll be delightful.
And we're back. I am here with my friend John Lunger doing another ad read here on Improvised Wikipedia for a very real advertisement that somebody actually paid us money for. The famous rate, $8, gets you an ad on this show. Johnny boy, who we got this week?
You're not going to believe it.
I will not.
It makes me I'm a little weirded out, but number two pencils.
Ooh.
Yeah, number two
you'd
pencils. You
think they would get it on another week.
Yeah, but they didn't. And we specifically asked them, do you care what we're talking about when we run your ad? And they said, nah, there's not anything out there that could stop a number two pencil. And here we are in the middle of the ballpoint pen episode.
Hmm.
Oh, boy. You got a standardized test? Pull out that number two pencil.
Do you not want to use a HB? Get a number two. There's a scale for softness
yeah.
of pencils,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
that's what the number two refers to.
Huh.
Goes up to a six, I think.
Hmm. HB is what? One?
It's like right in the middle.
Oh.
I think there's like number H and number B. I don't remember which way it goes. I think 6B might be a real soft boy. It's going to give you a... Ooh, that's going to give you a nice dark line. That's what that's going to do.
Are you a writer on the fantastic cartoon Bob's Burger and you want to make a joke about a elementary school student thinking number two pencils were made of poop? Well, good news. You did. It was delightful. Good job. And thank you.
Are you a stressed out office worker in an 80s movie and need something to chew frantically upon? Get yourself a number two pencil. Get them. Ooh, they take those teeth marks so well.
Are you a dad and you have to make something out of wood and you probably need to mark up stuff, but you don't want to do it in pen because that feels cocky? Get a number two pencil, put it behind your ear, forget where it was, but then be like, oh, here it is. Make a dad joke about how you're an idiot.
Are you Mulder and you need something to throw into the ceiling of your office in the basement of the FBI building in the X-Files? You're going to need a bunch of number two pencils because you'd be surprised how many that guy gets up there.
Are you a occasional character on the television show Community and do you want to stab Pierce Hawthorne in the cheek with something? Well, then you're Vicky, and you used a number two pencil.
I'm trying to think of other famous number two pencil stabbings. Are you my friend from seventh grade who stabbed my foot with a number two pencil, and I still have a little mark on my toe? Don't get number two pencils, because you can't be out there stabbing everybody, Drew.
Ah, Drew. Are you in charge of an anti-drug program and then you wrote don't do drugs on the side of a pencil and then as it gets sharpened it just says do drugs and then drugs. Yeah, that's something you can do on a number two pencil, but maybe not a pen.
I mean, you could. That would probably be the better option.
You wouldn't be able to sublimate.
Are you a factory in Jersey City?
You know I am.
Well, then... you're making some number two pencils, buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of the finest in the country.
Mamma mia.
Oh, boy.
That's a one pointy number two pencil. I sound like the count. One number two pencil. Two number two pencils. Use promo code POOP at checkout to get 2% off your number two pencil purchase.
And we are back.
We are back, and I am frantically typing in the phrase ballpoint pen into the Wikipedia iPhone app, and I have in front of me the article on Wikipedia for the ballpoint pen. Ball pen redirects here for the 2012 Indian film Ball Pen. See that page. Bureau also redirects here.
How many R's are in there?
One, you were correct.
I'll take it.
For the surname bureau, there's another page for that, but we're not. A ballpoint pen, also known as a bureau or ball pen, is a pen that
calls it a ball pen. Wikipedia is wild and out with these also known as things lately. No one calls it a ball pen. No one thinks you're talking about a British band when you say Ferris wheel. Just people know what they say what you mean, Wikipedia, you liar.
Is a pen that dispenses ink, parentheses, usually in paste form, over a metal ball at its point, i.e. over a ballpoint. The metal commonly used is steel, brass, or tungsten carbide. Well, I mean, that's a weird sentence. The metal implies one metal.
In the ball.
Shouldn't it be the metals, plural, commonly used?
No.
Are steel, brass, and tungsten? Anyways, the design was conceived and developed as a cleaner and more reliable alternative to dip pens and fountain pens, like we told you, and it is now the world's most used writing instrument. Millions are manufactured and sold daily. It has influenced art and graphic design and spawned an entire genre of artwork.
My friend in high school did a really nice frog drawing that used like two boxes of Bic pens. It was like really, really detailed.
Dope.
Really photorealistic. Very big drawing of a frog. Shout out to my friend from high school.
The concept of using a ballpoint within a writing instrument as a method of applying ink to paper has existed since the late 19th century. In these inventions, the ink was placed in a thin tube whose end was blocked by a tiny ball, held so that it could not slip into the tube or fall out of the pen. The first patent for a ballpoint pen was issued on October 30th, 1888, to John J. Loud, who was attempting to make a writing instrument that would be able to write, quote, only on surfaces such as wood, coarse wrapping paper, and other articles, which fountain pens at the time could not. Loud's pen had a small rotating steel ball held in place by a socket. Although it could be used to mark rough surfaces such as leather, as Loud intended, it proved to be too coarse for letter writing. With no commercial viability, its potential went unexploited, and the patent eventually lapsed.
Can't exploit that.
No, you gotta, and if you're gonna invent something,
you're gonna want to exploit it. Gotta like, that's exploit step it. One, invent. Like, my daughter wants to be an inventor, so we go over this a lot. Step one, invent the thing. Step two, exploit that thing.
Yeah. It's only two steps.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean,
just the two steps.
You could argue step three is Shark Tank, but I don't know. I don't want to.
Hey, sharks. I'm offering 5% for $80 billion in ballpoint pens because everybody uses them. They're all over the place. Give me that money.
The manufacture of economical, reliable ballpoint pens as are known today arose from experimentation, modern chemistry, and precision manufacturing capabilities of the early 20th century. Patents filed worldwide during early development are testaments to failed attempts at making the pens commercially viable and widely available. Early ballpoints did not deliver the ink evenly. Overflow and clogging were among the obstacles inventors faced in developing a reliable ballpoint pen.
Can't be clogging it up.
If the ball socket was too tight or the ink too thick, ooh, you love that thick ink, daddy.
Get that thick boy in there.
It would not reach the paper. If the socket was too loose, ooh, boy, or the ink too thin, the pen
you don't want
leak.
A loose, floppy socket.
It's true. So, moving forward in time, Laszlo Biro, a Hungarian newspaper editor, he later naturalized as an Argentine, was frustrated by the amount of time that he was wasting filling up fountain pens and cleaning up smudged pages.
That's exactly what we said at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. He noticed that inks used in newspaper printing dried quickly, leaving the paper dry and smudge-free. He decided to create a pen using the same type of ink. Biro enlisted the help of his brother Gregory, a dentist with useful knowledge of chemistry, to develop viscous ink formula for a new ballpoint pen design. His innovation successfully coupled ink viscosity with ball socket mechanism, which acted compatibly to prevent ink from drying inside the reservoir while allowing controlled flow. Biro filed a British patent on June 15th, 1938.
Wow.
Wow. Did not think it was going to be that late.
Later than we thought.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it goes on. There's a lot more. Post-war proliferation is a section on the page. There's a section dedicated to just inks. We go into types of ballpoints because there are several different ones. Different
See about
materials. Art as a medium is a huge section. This is a great page. Like, honestly, really, really good page. Surprisingly good page. This is like, every once in a while we find one of those pages where like, this is like what Wikipedia could be.
Yeah.
And this is one of those pages.
They do, sometimes they do a good job, and then other times it's Cardinals or whatever.
There are two Guinness World Records listed on the ballpoint pen page.
Tastiest ink.
Okay. That's okay.
Longest line drawn with a ballpoint pen.
Any other guesses? You haven't hit on either of them yet.
Best place to hide a ballpoint pen.
It's your butt.
It's your butt.
It's your butt.
It's your, definitely your butt.
No, the world's largest functioning ballpoint pen was made by Akara Makunari Sarinsvasa in India. The pen measures 5.5 meters long and weighs 37.23 kilograms. So that's it's 18.
So there's not one for the longest line drawn with a ballpoint pen?
Well, there might be. It's just not on this Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay.
18 feet long and 82 pounds, if you were wondering. The world's most popular pen is Bic Crystal, the 100th billionth of which was sold in September of 2006. It was launched in 1950 and has gone on to sell 57 pens per second. That's fucking insane.
I don't love a Bic Crystal.
I don't either.
The regular, like a regular white plastic, I prefer black ink to blue.
Mm.
The white plastic bit, I'll use one of those all day long.
With the
not my favorite.
That's the clicky top, right?
No, just the regular.
Just the regular.
The cap. I don't love it.
Yeah.
But I'll use it. The crystal, it's like, you know, we don't need to try to make this fancy.
Right, but 57 pens sell every
so
second.
Many sold while we were doing this.
It's
almost as many.
It's almost easier.
Almost as many pens sold during this episode as we have listeners to this podcast.
It's almost easier for me.
Because we have so many.
Oh, so many. It's almost easier for me to understand like the enormity of like our solar system and our galaxy than it is to understand that 57 pens sell every second. Like, I know I can do the math. It's just, and I know that they're ubiquitous and they're everywhere, but like, how much of the world's like landfills are filled with pens?
A bunch, you gotta think.
Like, it's just an insane, that is insane to me. That's like,
and it's just Bic Crystal. Like, it's
not just that one
it's
specific
not
type of pen.
All Bic pens or all ballpoints.
Right.
It's just
like
this
all
one...
pens. I mean, you might be talking like you're talking hundreds of pens.
I don't
pens.
Like the little hole in the side of them. I don't think it needs to be clear. I don't need
well,
to
the
see
hole
the
hole is there. The hole is there for a very noble reason.
It's airflow, I know, but
yeah, so someone doesn't choke and die on it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Right, so you're just saying like Darwinian if you're going to choke and
no,
die.
No, cuz I
want to
put stuff in it.
In the hole?
Yeah.
There's not Glenn Tickle sees a hole, he's got to fill that hole, baby.
If I'm writing with a Bic Crystal, there's a little hole, so it's a clear. If you're not familiar with the most popular pen in the world, you should be. They sell 57 of them every second. The tube part that you hold is clear.
Yeah,
it is six sided, I believe.
I believe they would prefer it to be called Cristal instead
I'm going
of clear.
With clear. It is, I believe, six sided. It's got, it's bumpy is what I don't like about it. Like. It's not printed. The word Bic Crystal is not printed in ink. It is like raised on the plastic.
Yeah. It's part of the mold.
Gross.
Yeah.
One of the edges, always a little bit sharp.
Yeah.
And there's a hole
in
the side.
And yet you still want to plug its hole, baby.
There's a hole in the side for airflow or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
I just want to put, like, I'm sitting writing, I'm looking at the tiny hole thinking, like, what's going to fit in there? What can I shove in here and fill this hole with?
Oh, boy.
That little blue poster stuff that you put on your wall? Maybe a little piece of a kneaded eraser, maybe? It's hard to crumple up paper small enough to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
You okay? But something's got to go in there.
You okay, bud? Oh, man.
I don't like Bic Crystal pens. There's a lot. The cap? Ooh. The cap? The stick part that becomes the clip when it's covered?
Uh-huh.
That's too sharp.
Too sharp?
Yeah.
You hurting yourself on Bic pens?
You can.
Can
so,
you?
A regular one.
Can you?
A regular.
It's not that sharp.
Cheap plastic.
It's sharp if you file it down and
a
make
regular,
it into like
cheap
a makeshift shiv.
The end of the cap clip is not sharp. It is blunted at the end. The crystal doesn't do that. They want like a nice, they're trying to make it round and sexy. Ooh, so sexy. It's not. It's jagged, and it doesn't fit in the hole. If it fit in the hole,
who hurt you?
If it fit,
my God!
If it fit in the hole, I could understand, because then you could chain several of them together and make it look like they were holding hands.
This is not something you should be passionate about. This is not something that you should even think
what,
twice
pens?
About. Yeah, no, no, this specific part of the...
I'm nothing if not passionate about pens.
Oh, boy.
I got what else do I have going on in my life?
Well, hold on. Well, let's maybe shift this conversation.
Hey, Sharpie S gel. By the way, I know we're not talking about you because you're a gel pen, not a ballpoint pen. But get out, like
just get out.
Go in the toilet.
Why?
Because everyone's so hyped about these pens.
Right.
They're fine at best.
Okay.
Everyone's so, get a Sharpie S gel. They're so great to work. They're too light.
Uh-huh.
You got to get some heft in there.
Oh, you got to get a thick,
The
heft.
Ink? What? You think I have 2 to 3 seconds for the ink to dry on this pen? What am I, made of time?
Well, I mean, that's all gel pens. That's not Sharpie gel specific.
I know. So everyone's, it dries so fast. Maybe a little bit faster than other gel pens, but not, get out of here.
You prefer the viscosity and drying speed of the newspaper ink style.
No, I hate it. It smells so bad. Ooh, if
well, Glenn,
you write a whole
this,
page,
then.
If what? You write a whole page by hand with a Bic pen, it stinks like metal feet.
Metal. It stinks like metal.
Yeah,
food.
Like
what
if a robot.
What does that even mean?
So you know the movie where Hugh Jackman Wolverine, he punches robots or whatever.
Sure.
One of those robots, they take their feet off. This is what the ink smells like inside
okay.
a big pen.
Okay, Mr. Guy here. You seem to have a problem with a lot of pens, but yet you seem to like pens. You're passionate about pens.
I gotta write stuff down.
So what's your fucking pen of choice? Because you seem to be just anti-pens.
Here's what you're gonna do.
Okay.
I'm gonna look in the camera.
Oh, okay.
For everybody left, but I'm still gonna look at the camera.
Yeah, so just to be clear, you are making eye contact with a live broadcast on
live,
TikTok, and there's nobody watching
on
the other side?
Yeah, that's exactly what's
there's
happening.
There's zero people in this room.
None
right now.
People.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you making contact with no people over me who's in the same room
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, I'm looking it's at great. My own face
uh-huh.
while I say
well,
this.
That makes sense. You are a narcissist.
The Zebra Ultra Fine Rollerball Pen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best pen in the world.
So Rollerball is their brand.
Rollerball
is that's their brand of a ballpoint pen.
Yes, it is a liquid ink over a paste, so okay. it's not stinky. Mm-hmm. It does. It's not drying as fast as a ballpoint pen, but faster.
But I thought you didn't have time.
But faster than a gel pen. You don't have to like blow on it.
Man, you really cut that dry time in half. 2 seconds to one. Thank God I have things to do because I'm Glenn Tickle.
Zebra Extra. You got to get the extra fine. It's a nice, scratchy pen. It's the best pen in the world.
Yeah, right. I do have a legitimate pen question that I think your science-y knowledge might be able to help me out with.
Hit right? me, baby, one more time.
So we've talked about it several times.
Free Britney.
You need to put a cap on pens
yeah.
so that they don't dry out.
Sure.
At the same time, pen caps have holes in them so that if someone were to swallow it, they can continue airflow and they won't choke and die.
Yeah.
So how does that cap that has a hole on the other end yeah. keep the pen from drying out when it's still open?
Because it, even though there's a hole, right? So, oh, the hole in the Crystal Bic that I was complaining about earlier
is in the actual pen. I
the
realized
one on
that
the side of the pen.
Yeah, I realized that after I
the one at the end of the cap. I got no problem with that. It stops okay. kids from choking on pens.
Right.
It restricts the airflow, so it will dry out. It will just dry out more slowly.
Okay, got it.
So it's not gonna. It doesn't stop it from happening, but less air is moving in and out.
So theoretically,
because it's really the movement of air over things that
sure,
dries them out,
sure,
rather than like just the existence
so
of air.
Best case scenario, like the right way to do it is if you have a ballpoint pen that has a pen cap that has a hole in it, it's best stored with the cap down.
It's best stored with the cap down regardless because otherwise your ink paste is
falling down anyways.
Slide back
right,
and then
right.
you're going to it's going to take a while to
warm up
get it going. Yeah, you got to warm that baby up.
Yeah, you got to do some foreplay before you write. Just
a little one of these.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was so gross. It was so gross. I'm here for it though. Well, I mean, that's it. I got to call it I'm gonna talk this. Is
Frog like, Queen's back? Oh, and Laura High's watching now.
Oh, hey,
oh,
everybody!
No, they both just left.
Ah, well, fuck them. So this is tough because you did legitimately know a lot about how they worked, but that page was
thorough,
great.
Yeah,
like a really, really good page. Like one.
I didn't know
the
largest working pen was 18 feet.
Who would have known? But now we do. Like I'm, like I said, I'm always overjoyed when we get a page like that on Wikipedia, like a good actual page. That's wonderful. I mean, that's what it should be. I don't know that I feel like we lost, but like we kind of lost. But, a tie is something we could consider in this particular instance because I think you did an admirable job.
I mean, like I said, I knew more about – I know how they work more than the history of them.
Sure.
I got Bureau in there, though.
You did. You spelled it right, too. Well, because –
find
not...
out the price, the original price for a ballpoint pen. Because if I got it right with a dollar, we win.
I've moved on. My phone's over there.
All right, then we lose forever. And
yeah,
Wikipedia.
I think I know. I think we're gonna take an L here. And honestly, we're not keeping track of these scores anymore.
I mean, I famously don't care.
Yeah, but you do.
I do deeply because you made it a competition, and now I need to win it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
well, there you go. That's all right.
I'm a broken person.
We'll take it. We'll take a loss. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember to like and subscribe. Tell a friend about our podcast. We love you all so much. We're very excited to be back in the saddle doing more improvised Wikipedia for you. Glenn, anything to plug?
Hey, I might. Who knows? Do I have a Dry Bar special out? I don't know. We're recording this in the past and releasing it in the future. Anything could happen between now and then.
Man, what a great point.
Maybe I have one on Dry Bar. Oh, you know what?
Huh.
By the time this goes up, if you go, where's a good place? Go to glenntickle.com. I will have instructions on how you can bother Hulu until they buy my comedy special.
Oh,
I'm trying to get Good Grief listed on Hulu.
No, I'd be very excited to help
with that. That's my goal. There's like a request page that they have, so I'm going to point people there.
There you go. Let's see, me plug-wise, check out Escape the Podcast, a great podcast I do with very funny people, Addison Young, Justin Passano, Jaya Peck. It's very, very fun. We're going to start recording season 2 very, very soon, so now's a great time to jump on, get caught up. If you like the mad scientist bits of Mystery Science Theater 3000, if you enjoy funny characters in escape rooms, I think you might
never
enjoy
done
the podcast.
An escape room.
Neither have I, but I still do this podcast, so I don't know what that says about me. It's a good time.
I think I believe in myself that I would do very well, but I know that if I didn't, it would crush me.
It's true. So you can check that out at escapethepod.net. It's got all the great links there, so check that out. That would be great. Glenn, we end all of our episodes when we remember by talking about if we had to update this Wikipedia page with a joke or a fake fact, what would we do? Because you can do that on Wikipedia. We never advocate for that to happen, but let's just hypothetically, if we had to do it, what would we do?
The ink in ballpoint pens is edible. Oh, what's the worst that could happen?
I mean, death.
People eat too much ink and die?
Yeah, that's literally the worst that could happen.
All right, well, maybe we don't say it's edible. It is flavored. It tastes like Vegemite.
Vegemite, oh, that's good.
That's the thing. Nobody's going to be like, oh, let me crack one of these bad boys open.
Yeah, and you just don't care if Australian people die as well.
Because
I'll
most people don't
that.
Like Vegemite. Yeah. You ever had Vegemite?
No, I've not. I'm not Australian.
That's pretty good. Hmm. You got to use it a little bit.
I like where you're going with that. My version of that instead of Vegemite would be Bic Crystal Pens, the world's best-selling pen. The ink in a Bic Crystal pen tastes like the last word you wrote with it.
That's some Willy Wonka shit.
I know, I love it, right? Wouldn't that be great?
Butts.
Oh.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Oh, I got butt on my tongue. Click that top, baby.